Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They're going to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show you your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children, because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules them.
And it's time for another installment of It's My House. And today's topic is household equity. Household equity. I'm going to present it to you in a way that you probably have never heard it before. 619-768-2945 is the live stream number. I'm about to play an audio that I played a gazillion times on this podcast before, but I want you to listen to it for the gazillion one first time, because pay close attention to it, because within the message that this guy is giving are lessons that you can immediately tap in on when it comes to household equity and how you can capitalize on it and make some cash flow on it like now. So let me play this, the solar cabin, and then we're going to come back with household equity distinctions.
In the last 2 years, solar panels have been popping up on people.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage. and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions. And that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean, it's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat. I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at an age, at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
All right. Now, we, like I said, we played that audio a gazillion times over here. That was the gazillion for the first time. Today's podcast is titled Household Equity. Now, here's what I want to relate. Well, we're using that audio you just heard to explain household equity. Most people know equity is in bankers' terms, you know, the amount of money that, what your house is worth minus the liability or the debt on the house. Whatever that is the particular equity that you might have. Use the term real estate. All right, when it comes to household equity, in my opinion, too many of us are giving that away for free. And you need to start thinking outside of bankers' terms when you look at equity, particularly household equity. Now, I'm going to explain household equity in terms of cash flow. It's the potential of cash that you can that's just a form of money. Household equity is the potential of financial resources that are contained within your household. I'm working on that definition. But for the sake of this podcast, it's the potential of financial resources, and cash is just one of them, with the household. Now, with that said, the typical person that lives in an urbanized area is giving away quite a bit of their household equity. Let's start with water. Most people that live in an urbanized area pay for municipal water, water coming from the city. And the city, they collect the water from the storm drains and whatnot, and they clean it up or whatever, and then they pipe it back to you, and then you turn on your tap, and water flows out, and then they send you a bill every month. You don't need to do that because essentially you have the city that's making money off of your household equity. In every house, you have what I call water assets. Water assets. But if you don't know what water assets are, then you won't be able to harness them. The water company, municipal water, gets essentially, in most cities, their water from us, the homeowner. They might get some of it from some lake or stream or something, but most of them get it from us. Here's how the process goes. Rainwater. When rainwater hits your roof, and on a typical roof, let's say you got a garage or a shed, typically about anywhere from 39,000 to 42,000 liters of water hits our roofs a year. All right. Once that rainwater hits your roof, and then runs off the roof through the gutters, it becomes classified as storm water. And it finds its way to the sewer or the street and goes down the sewer, you know, the sewer pipes. That's storm water, and it's finding its way to those sewer pipes run back to the municipality's water company. And they receive that storm water, they clean it up, and then except if you're someplace like Detroit or Flint, Michigan, then they pipe it back to you. And, you know, on top of that, with a lot of these municipalities, you know, they got a crumbling infrastructure when it comes to water. So, but anyway, they pipe it back to you and send you a bill. If you do not pay that bill, particularly if your property is classified as real estate, that means the dwelling is physically attached to the ground and you can't move it, it's a permanent structure that's classified as real estate, then your de facto partner is also your local government. If you don't pay that water bill, even if your house is paid off, they can seize your house and auction it off. Now, there's a town in, Hamtramck, Michigan. Detroit's got a unique layout. It's Highland Park. Highland Park, Michigan. Highland Park, Michigan is a municipality within the municipality of Detroit, Michigan. If you go to Highland Park, Michigan, there's a bunch of vacant houses there. And part of the story on that is that these people couldn't pay their water bills. So the city of Highland Park put a lien against these houses and foreclosed on the houses, and the people had to move out. That's because the people that owned those homes didn't know anything about the water assets that were hitting their roof. They didn't know how to harness it. You can cut the municipal, matter of fact, local municipal water companies can go out of business in a very short period of time if more homeowners realize the household equity that this lies within the water assets of their particular dwelling. Now, you can structure your dwelling two ways, at least that I know about, actually three ways, to take advantage of this. Number one, as Lamar said in the audio we played, you can take advantage of, you can't probably do this in a place like Manhattan, New York, or any of the five boroughs of New York, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Illinois, any densely populated place like that, Los Angeles, California, San Francisco. But if you're in the right area, you can dig a well on your property, on your homestead, and get well water. I'm on well water. The property where I'm sitting right now, we use well water. And it's cleaned up through a reverse osmosis water system. So it's drinkable. You can cook with it, this, that, and other. All right. Now, we do have an option in this neck of woods. We can use city water. But why pay for it when I can tap it this way, all right? And then once a year it gets serviced when you switch out, you know, clean out the filters on the reverse osmosis system. So I don't have to pay a monthly water bill. So that's one way that you can keep control of that water asset that you have. Don't give it away to the municipality. So here is no big deal, no secret. Most households, most of my neighbors have a well. Some don't, but most do. All right. But in other cities, there are city ordinances where you cannot drill a well on your property. So that's the city that basically is monopolizing the rainwater or your asset, okay, which is part of your household equity. So if you do receive a water bill, or know anybody receives a water bill, whatever they're paying every month, whatever you're paying to the water company, they're basically taking your money. And they're doing it legally. You don't have to do that. The second way that you can harness the household equity known as a water asset would be in a well would be a water asset. But what I would call rain panels, I have a company that we make those. And what they do, instead of drilling a well, we set up rain panels to capture the water, store it in containers. Because on a normal rain, you can probably capture about 55 gallons of water or more in about 21 minutes. But with a rain panel, you don't have to do any drilling underground or nothing like that. And it harnesses the water, and then you can have a pump on it and out of the container, and then you can pump it into your house just like with the well pump, but except it's not underground. So that's the second way that you can tap in on your the rainwater. And in some cases, you know, depending on what neck of the woods, you have to look it up. There was a guy in Kenya, Africa. He started a company called Raindrop. No, excuse me, not Raindrop. Skydrop. Skydrop. And he would catch the rainwater, get it purified, cleaned up and purified. Then he would bottle it, and then he would sell it to various tribes or neighborhoods in Nairobi, Kenya. Skydrop. You're not going to do that in San Diego, California. But if you look at the local laws or you look at the major water distributors like Nestle or whatever, and water is probably the most valuable commodity, in my opinion, that will hit that is on your house, that's contained within your household. The reason why I'm saying that is, and I think it's probably more valuable than gold, because you really don't need gold on a daily basis to trade. You don't need it when you go. McDonald's is not going to receive your gold bar. You're not going to go shopping at Albertsons with a gold bar, or gold dust. They want money. But they sell water. You can't live without water for so long. Matter of fact, James Bond, there was a movie that in the James Bond franchise called The Quantum of Solace, and that's where James Bond goes green. And his mission from the throne in this one was he has to go to South America to prevent somebody from taking over the water rights of a particular South American country. I highly recommend reading it because that movie reflected what somebody actually tried to do and what other people are still trying to do when it comes to these water companies. And then look up, Netflix has got some documentaries on this, but look like, I think Nestle's, there's one of these big companies like Nestle's, they got some place in Maine where they went to one of these little small towns and got the water rights for some particular stream or whatever. And they're tapping it and they're selling it to people on a global basis. But water is something that the little man can still take advantage of, even on an individual household basis. You can cut them out. So you can do a well on your property. If you can't do that, do rain panels. Most people don't know about rain panels because I coined that term, and I got a special thing for that. And then what's the third? The third thing would be some people have do their tanks underground because I know, like over in particularly Germany, There's a place called OBI. Yeah, OBI. It's like Home Depot. Same colors and everything. But you can go there and you can buy your underground water storage tank, because over there, that's what they do. That's what they do. But water is a water asset. So whatever you, if you're paying a water bill, stop giving your money away. Reclaim that particular water asset for yourself. I just named for you three ways. You can go online and look this stuff up. A lot of this stuff can be DIY projects, or you can hire somebody to do it for you. Now, the second household equity that I want to mention is electricity. If you get an electric bill, there's typically a monopoly in town. Like in Washington, D.C., the monopoly for electricity is Pepco. All right. And but you do have a choice now, although they're regulating it to some degree. Slap some solar panels on your house. Put some solar panels on your house, and we'll go through, because that's a whole podcast in itself when we get into net metering, when the meter spins backwards and you can sell power back to the electric company, or you can go totally off-grid and store your electric and batteries and just be totally – but that's going to require for most people a lifestyle change. But for the sake of this conversation or this talk today, household equity, you can cut out the middleman, which is a local power company, by putting either wind or solar or both of them on your house. And the we covered water. And then the last one would be gas, primarily used for heat. I'll use Washington, D.C. again as an example. In Washington, D.C., the local monopoly for gas to heat your home, to cook your food, is Washington Gas. You can cut them out of the loop by coming up with you can do it with solar, but you had to switch your systems out almost to camping mode. Because in Washington, D.C., for instance, outside of D.C., you can get a propane stove. However, in Washington, D.C., proper propane stoves to heat your home, or propane on the inside of your house, is banned. That's because Washington Gas bankrolled the city council to pass legislation to ban. But right outside of Washington, D.C., in the Maryland suburbs, Virginia suburbs, particularly Maryland, there's a company called Suburban Propane. So you can have a propane stove that you can cook on, bake cakes with, and whatnot, which is totally wild, because it's like you can throw a stone and hit, knock the window out across the border into another house in Maryland. So what's legal there is totally illegal in D.C. because propane stoves are illegal in Washington, D.C. Now, you can have a barbecue grill with that, but you can't cook with it. But you can go to other places around the country. Totally crazy. But anyway, so D.C.'s not the only place like that. So, because essentially, Washington Gas, which is a monopoly, has monopolized that market in D.C. So the only way to get around that in D.C. is you could do it with solar or other camping, what I would call camping technologies. And that's why we're going to do videos and put together this cable channel. Well, not cable channel, but Roku channel, Wi-Fi channel, whatever you want to call it, so people can actually see this. So essentially you can claim your household equity. But the, and then there are other forms of household equity also. Like if you got an empty room in your house, Airbnb essentially has tapped in on that. And you have a lot of regulators in your lot of many of your larger cities that are pissed off about it because they're trying to tell, you know how the government is. They're trying to tap in on anything they can get their hands on. So you have a lot of your larger cities that are trying to tap in on that market, but that's what Airbnb did. They tapped in on household equity, empty spaces. If you got a spare bedroom, a spare couch, you got a space in your backyard. Airbnb basically is an app that helps you monetize empty spaces in your house where somebody can sleep. Uber, same thing. Uber is an app that basically helps you monetize the auto equity in your car or automobile. That's all they are. So anyway, getting back to household equity. So if you got an empty space in your house, if you rent it out, you're tapping into the household equity. If you can harness the water in your house where you can cut out the middleman, you're tapping in, you're protecting your household equity. If you got solar panels on your home, or even with passive solar, you know, if your house is facing south and you got the windows, well, got the right windows and enough windows, then where you can capture that year round, that can even help out with the heat and the light. So that's all tapping into your household equity. So the water company, the electric company, and the gas company, those are three companies who make billions of billions of dollars because the average homeowner knows nothing, is not even aware. They don't even know that they don't even know of the concept of household equity. As I said, we'll be doing workshops on this, on how you can set this up. Now, you can go on YouTube right now because there's a gazillion videos on how to dig, you know, drills, you know, drill a well and all that. But once again, check zoning in your local neck of the woods. Now, if you live in a densely populated area, Dallas, Fort Worth, San Antonio, Miami, Orlando, Florida, Seattle, Washington, those places, Chicago, Detroit, ordinances on the book where you cannot drill for a well where you live at. However, in the smaller places, less densely populated, you can probably do that, but check with the locals first, with zoning and permits, whatever it's called in your neck of the woods. See what you can do and then go from there. Because even Culligan, these companies that, you know, will bring water out to your property and whatnot, to your house, they're tapping in, you know, most people don't know anything about household equity. If you know about how to harness your own water, then you don't have to buy water from anybody. And water, is really priced higher than gasoline. You know, Fiji just puts it in a nice little pretty bottle with some pretty print on it. And if we're at the airport or the train station or something like that, we'll pay $3.54 a liter. Now, I think that's more than gasoline. On that note, tomorrow we have a special guest coming in. He's going to be speaking about human equity It'll be a very exciting conversation. Tune into it. On that note, have a good day.
At Jiffy Lube, we care about cars. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. That's why we've been taking care of business with quick quality oil changes and service for over 40 years. And with things like our Carful Vehicle Review, where our experts will check, fill, clean, and inspect your vehicle, you'll know we'll care for your car like we care for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more.
Visit JiffyLubeDC.com to find a Jiffy Lube service center near you.